If you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah 61 first. As I shared, we have started our corporate fast and prayer yesterday. If you forgot about it or you're a guest, I just want to invite you to join us, even if you attend another church. They're shutting it. Even if you attend another church, you can still join us in prayer and fasting as we're believing that it's a season of breakthrough. It's a season for God to manifest His truth and life to us. It's a time for us to draw close to Him. Next Sunday, we are actually going to start at 8:45 to 9:45 praying for the sick. So if you have been physically sick for a while, please come for prayer. We're going to pray for each person 10 to 15 minutes and even broken feet that they would heal quickly. And it really is time to raise our expectations. Well, that really went over well. It is really time to raise our expectations and line up with the Word of God. Amen. There was a time that the world was in so desperate need of a sign. Man had fallen in the garden. And about 700 years before that sign would manifest, and we're so close to Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, I'm telling you, the world is still longing, crying out, as it says in Romans, for sons and daughters of that one son to rise up. In fact, that's a great reading in the book of Romans. It says that the world, the earth, is groaning and moaning, longing for the sons and daughters to rise up. Yes. I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes when hurricanes happen, it's the earth moaning and groaning for sons and daughters of the King to wake up. I truly, truly believe that. We're trying to blame it on God and we're trying to blame it on that. When I line it up with Scripture, the earth is moaning and groaning for the hope of seeing what was released years ago of decay, of the fall in the garden. It's longing for sons and daughters to rise up. Because you see, you and I really do believe we're going to come to this. There's going to come a time, and I want it to be in my lifetime. Yeah. That sons and daughters of the King are going to go to the edge of New Orleans when a storm like Katrina's manifestation of a few years ago will speak to the storm and it will disperse.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you see, Jesus made a promise that there's going to come a time that you're going to be able to speak to this mountain. And if you'll just have faith as little as a mustard seed, that mountain is going to disappear. And that mountain can be a blood disorder of hepatitis C, or it can be a massive storm that's going to bring great destruction, whatever it may be. And you see, this prayer and fasting is a journey to draw close to the one that when He speaks, He calls people out of the dens of life, of depression. Anybody remember the story of Elijah? Has a great victory one day. The next day, Jezebel sends him a message, this wicked lady, and says, hey, do you just need to know that if I don't kill you and destroy you like you did my boys yesterday, well then, you know, I'm just going to go away, but I am going to kill you. He runs away and hides in a wilderness. We need to understand that the voice of God is so strong that when the still small voice of God spoke to Elijah, it pulled him out of his cave of depression. Church, we need to get accustomed and used to hearing the still small voice of God every day, that there's no way that we would be... Answer that. Go ahead. It's just God calling, saying He's right. Listen to Him. And so it's time that the sons and daughters rise up in their destiny. That first son I was talking about, the last Adam, as it says in Corinthians, he'd be the one that would take care of what was lost in the garden. He would take care of sicknesses that the enemy was able to release into bodies because of that. Yes. So let's read it real quick. Let's stand up. Let's honor the Word of God. I love that some Sundays to do that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me Again, this is Isaiah hearing the Spirit of God of what the Son, Jesus Christ, would look like, how he would manifest the Father's heart here on earth. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort and heal the brokenhearted and proclaim that the captives be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against his enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Can I tell you, you're planted in your workplace, in your city, in your family. It's not about your life, but it's about releasing the glory of God in everywhere you're at. Amen? They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. Now, I want you to know something. Way better than William Wallace and Gladiator and all of that stuff, you've been called, seriously, you've been called to rebuild cities. I love going to Juarez, Mexico, because God has given me that as part of my spiritual land to rebuild what the enemy has torn down. What is your cities? What is your place that God's called you to? They will revive them. Though they have been deserted for many generations, foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend to your vineyards. You'll be called the priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in those riches. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you need to hear this next scripture. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. Some of you are so beat down with car breakdowns or just life. Can I tell you, God, Jesus, the first Son, came to release and break that shame off of our lives to give us honor. And not only honor, I love the abundance of God, double honor. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been created for double honor. All right. Now just real quickly, turn to Acts 10:38. I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm going to pray over us. You can sit down. Some of you look like you're exhausted from standing this long already. I know the fast is wearing some of you out already. One day and you're exhausted. This scripture had always bothered me. It's my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Seriously. It's my favorite scripture of all scriptures in the Bible. This is it. Because I read it years ago and I said, Lord, I want to see this lived out. I want to be part of it. This is what it says. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing some. Come on. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Lord, I'm asking that you would bring that all season around again. God, that all season that we would remove the limitations and the encounters that we've experienced on this side of heaven up to this point that has lowered our expectations to see your power and your name show up. That you truly did anoint the Son that the earth was crying out for. And Lord, now the earth is crying out for the sons and daughters of the original, authentic Son to show up. And Lord, it's time for us to show up with the real goods. It's time to show up with the real goods, for all would be healed and all would be delivered. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I encourage you to read this next week in Acts 5. There comes a time, and if you were a due studier of the Word, as all summer long we were reading the book of Acts over and over. And in Acts 5, there comes a time that Peter's shadow is so powerful that they start noticing one day, and I don't know how it went down, but maybe it was somebody was sitting over here with cancer one day, and Peter goes walking by, and all of a sudden he feels a surge of the kingdom of God come into his life, and he's healed. Ever how it happened, they found out that Peter's shadow was healing people. And it says in Acts 5 that one day they decided, well, man, let's bring all the people in our cities that are sick or crippled or even have demonic spirits, and let's see what happens. And as they brought all the people out to have an encounter with Peter's shadow, all of a sudden they realized that all were healed and all were delivered of every evil spirit. About 12 years ago, 10 years ago, Nancy can contest this, affirm this, that I started ministering that very fact of Acts 5 in the prayer room at Sojourn Church. That there's an all season that needs to return to the church once again. That in our church services, and that even next Sunday when we start praying for the sick before the church service, that they would leave here whole and healed. There has to come a time, because there's many religions that are saying we're the way, the truth, and the life. And there's got to become a manifestation of the kingdom of God on our life, that really we got the truth and the fruits that they're healed. Just like at Gate Beautiful, the story in Acts 3, here's this guy that's been lame since he was born, and he's now 40 years old, and in one day and in one moment, two men, Peter and John, say, man, we don't have silver and gold to give you, because that's what they would set him out right outside the synagogue for him to make a living. And one day, as Peter and John are going to church for prayer, to the synagogue for prayer, he puts out his little basket or whatever for, man, will you give me some money? I got to go buy me a Big Mac from here. And he says, man, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All of a sudden, you got to think about a man who's never walked for 40 years. You talk about atrophy? Yeah. Atrophy of all atrophies. Yeah. No muscle tone at all. And all of a sudden, this dude jumps up, because we need to build our expectation in high. Yeah. During this 21 day of prayer and fasting. And on the 22nd day, we're even going to build it even higher. But all of a sudden, this dude jumps up. I don't know if his body started popping and, you know, all those kind of cartoons you can see and all that stuff. I know I watch sometimes maybe too much TV, but I do tie it into some kingdom perspectives. Yeah. All of a sudden, this guy becomes the Incredible Hulk. And this dude gets up. Now think about it. He leaps. He goes running. Remember, his lungs have never even worked to the point that he's ever ran, and where his lungs had to work like that. I believe we've all dummied down our expectation of God on Sundays and every day, because we've had some things happen to us in life that we don't believe God can heal hepatitis C. We don't believe God can bring a breakthrough, so we dummy down our expectations. And now we live not by the truth of God's word, but we live by the truth of disappointments that we've had in life. We live by disappointments of a dad who died 27 years ago at the age of 50, way too young. We live by the disappointments in life of a barren womb, or eyes that are not healed, or ears that are not healed. Whatever it may be, we dummy it down to our expectations. And now we're not living by the truth of God's word, but we're living by the false truths of disappointments. And God, in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, wants us to draw close to a holy, living God that our expectations believes, and not only believes, we will see the manifestation of healed pancreases for diabetes. Yes. We will see tumors disappear. Yes. We will pray a decree, just as it says in Job. The Bible that we see is one of the most depressed books, if you will. Job went through some tough times. But I think it's in 22nd chapter. He says, you'll know a decree and you'll speak a decree and it will happen. Amen? It's time to get some lids off of our life, those spiritual lids that we can't see. Those spiritual lids of unbelief and hopelessness. There's a McDonald's commercial out right now that these kids, these group of kids, they're given these empty bags. And they go, it's hope. Anybody seen this commercial other than me? Thank you. There we go. And one little kid goes, and he's looking there, well, what's in here? And they're going, hope. One little kid goes, what's hope? And you see, I believe if we're really, really gut honest, there's Sunday after Sunday, we come to church. And we can make faces. Now, I'm with you. But some of us go, what's hope? But you see, we put so much religion around us, we wouldn't dare speak that out. But many of us have it in our hearts. What's hope? The whole commercial's about Ronald McDonald House. And that's being the hope. Well, can I tell you, there's a far greater hope than a Ronald McDonald House. And we used to do an outreach there from Sojourn Church, and I still believe we're going to get invited back one day. We went there and we prayed for the sick. We provided meals. And some got a little too zealous, and we got asked to not come back. We're going to learn from that mistake. Because we're going to go in and we're going to have the goods of just laying hands and not even having to say anything. And seeing 8-year-old kids healed of cancer. If you've ever been to Ronald McDonald House, and if you want to go to a place that will truly break your heart, go there. But don't leave in despair. Leave in going, God, I've got to have more of you. Amen? The word anointing means to smear upon, put oil upon. In the New Testament, you would come down and say you were going to be a king or you were going to be a prophet in the Old Testament, and they would put oil on you. And that oil and that anointing was an anointing to take on that office as a prophet. And in the Old Testament, what you spoke on to the people of Israel, you spoke on behalf of God. And if you were a king like King David, if you remember the story in 1 Samuel 13, he wasn't there because his earthly father didn't even consider him worthy to be at the anointing for the next king. The enemy has told some of us that we're unworthy for the anointing to be a king and priest. Can I tell you today, every one of you are called to be anointed kings and priests and releasing the Father's heart. Because just like King David, today is our day, if you will, on the second day of our prayer and fasting. And we're going to anoint and we're going to commission. And I really believe that the lids that have been on our lives of not believing and the power and the goodness of God, that there's fixing to be a real changing and turning upside down. So for years, man, even though this is my favorite scripture, and I'd almost tell you it's my favorite scripture for the last 15 years, even when we were working with youth workers and we lived at 3106 Windsor in Carrollton, Texas, I would read this scripture and we would anoint one another. 15 years removed, I understand this scripture more and more. How many of us have prayed for the anointing of God? You've asked for the anointing of God on your life, right? Well, I've always wondered, okay, why does it say that Jesus of Nazareth was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power? Probably 3 years ago, I started understanding the answer to that. You see, the Holy Spirit comes, and just as in the beginning of Jesus, he gives him the revelation that he's the Son of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But you see, to get the real anointing, we've got to understand that there's going to be some trials and tribulations come our way. And that's where the power really comes. You see, we've seen testings and trials the wrong way. Now, please hear me. If you're spending $5,000 a month and you're making $3,000 a month, that's not a test and trial that the enemy, that God's putting you through to grow your anointing. So what I'm sharing, don't be going through your life. Well, no wonder the devil's after me. Well, no, again, if you're spending $5,000 a month and you only make $3,000 a month, that's not the devil. That's just your lack of common sense. Amen? You understand what I'm saying, the difference of the two? Jesus was holy, pure, and perfect without sin. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He says, Father speaks from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus, the Spirit of God just sends him into the Holy of Holies, the roses of roses. I mean, all of those things, right? But see, that's what the American church, that's what we've all bought into incorrectly. Do you know that when at the age of 9 I went down to ask Christ into my life, and my pastor was a great pastor, but if you were in the Baptist church, you'd remember these great altar calls. Oh, just come down. Oh, just come down. And please, I love my pastor. I'm not making fun of him. I know it sounds like I'm mocking him. I'm not. And I'm not mocking the Baptist denomination. I had some great impartations of the Word of God put in my life. Come on down. Come on down, and your life is going to be perfect. Anybody else respond to an altar call like that? Seriously? Raise your hands, right? Raise your hands if you did. Yeah, we did. It's about the furthest from the truth that you could even receive. And I pray to God you never hear an altar call like that. What you hear is an altar call, God, because again, we were made in the image of Christ. You're made a son and a daughter, the Father says, of how beloved you are as a son and daughter. But we're going to have to follow the path just like Jesus did. The Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness. Not into the TBN area stuff. And again, if you watch TBN, I apologize to you that I made fun of that. But it's not all about a prosperity marriage. I mean, prosperity message. Prosperity marriage, yes. Prosperity message, no. But it's about being led into the wilderness because it's time to get your power. It's time to get your anointing. You see, if I could say it like this, your anointing is your mission statement. Jesus' mission statement is that he would heal all. His mission statement was that he would repair the cities that generations had been destroyed. Church, I want you to know we've all been given an anointing, a smearing of the Spirit of God within our DNA, with the inside of us. And there's an anointing on us that's going to come on the outside. And I'm going to tell you the title of my message, seriously. If you'll embrace what God wants to do in these 21 days, these 21 days will release an understanding and an unlocking of your anointing. And that anointing, again, is your mission statement. Some of you have been called to release the kingdom of God into Hebron High School, maybe into every school and or the other different schools that as teachers that you're at. Some of you have been called to release the unlocking and the anointing of God into your cities, into your workplace. It's a mission statement. What is your mission statement? Why did God put his anointing on your life? And just like it says in Acts 61, and just like it, not Acts 61, in Isaiah 61, and in Acts 10, you were anointed to release him to people. So many of us, if I could be so bold and pick on the charismatic community, we've made it all about us. Receive, 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 receive. And no wonder we're so constipated spiritually. And I'm being as gut honest as I can. It's the reason we are, is because so many charismatic communities have received and received and received. No, you receive. And this is to come and receive. What's our mission statement? To come and receive and release the hope of Christ. If it's all about me receiving all the time, I'm not made in the image of Jesus Christ. He received and he released. And in your releasing, can I tell you that more of the Spirit of God will come on your life through that releasing. Amen? So I started thinking, Holy Spirit, power, filled with the Holy Spirit and power. They were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room, but to get their power, their war footing. When George W. Bush said that about 6 years ago, ever how long ago he said that, might even been longer that, I told Nancy, I said, that is going to be a key word prophetically for the bride of Christ. And it was right after the 9/11 bombing and all of that stuff, and it was a few years after that, and he said, we've got to gain our war footing in Afghanistan. You need to listen to the news prophetically. You need to listen to the, read the newspaper prophetically. And I said, that is a prophetic declaration that God's trying to speak to all of us. We have to get our war footing. You need to gain your war footing in your family. You need to gain your war footing in your city, your workplace, that you don't stand with feeble knees, but you stand as an oak of righteousness, like it says in Isaiah 61. Did you just get what I just said?
Yes. Amen.
So long we've been standing with feeble knees, and you've been called to be an oak of righteousness of where God has planted you. Why did it say? To release His glory. Come on, man, this is good.
Yeah.
This ought to be getting, there's a lot of us a lot more excited than this. So again, if you've cried out for a 2-ton anointing, guess what you're going to get? 2-ton trials and persecution. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I look at the church in China that's growing leaps and bounds and telling the American church, grow up, quit praying that the persecution would stop over here. We understand through the persecution, that's the reason the dead's being raised. That's the reason Paul could say in Philippians, he says, oh God, I want to know and fellowship with the power of your resurrection. And what else? The fellowship of your sufferings. You want a revival and you want a true anointing that will release and transform nations and cities? Learn to understand that a plate of persecution and suffering can release a great revival. Now please hear me, you get diagnosed with cancer, all that, that's from the pit of hell. You get diagnosed with any sickness, generational curse, it's from the pit of hell, and we need to learn to get our war footing and start fighting against things. Amen? So in all that, I made an interesting journey this past week. My mom's had some, over the last year, some different health issues, and I went back to my old stomping grounds of Hereford, and it's a 6-hour drive out there if you drive as fast as I do, and a 6-hour drive back. And yeah, so don't try to drive it that fast. I drive by grace. I know, I'm just playing. And under the anointing, that's my mission statement, to drive that way. Trying to add a little humor here. Some of y'all look way too serious. This anointing and suffering deal's a fun thing. But my mom and I had some interesting conversations. Every morning I'd get up and we'd drink coffee and we'd talk. And I told her for the first time when I heard the call of God as a 12-year-old boy that I was going to be a pastor. Yeah, I had those 8 years in there of doing drugs and alcohol and how God supernaturally delivered me. But we were at, it was in June, when I was 12 years old, 40 years ago. And I was sitting there as a 12-year-old, the only teenager in a class of being trained for evangelism. Only teenager. And even as God was giving me this revelation, as I was driving back and thinking about it yesterday of what I told my mom, I started thinking about the youth in there and the children in there, and Marcy and Parker and Josh and all the others. Somebody's car's been broken into. Just kidding. If you have valuables in your car, you might go check it. I'm kidding. I'm playing. Not. Yeah, go check. And I started thinking about, you never know what God's going to breathe into a kid's heart back there. I was 12. And God breathed into my heart, you'll be a pastor one day. At the age of 16, I tried to start changing the hand of God in that and started doing some things that were not. Yeah, I started being Jonah. And God, in His grace and mercy, called me back and delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Well, see, New Testament, we're all called to be kings and priests. We're all called to live. Vocationally, I may be a full-time pastor, but vocationally, we've all been called to be kings and priests. We've all been called, as it says in Revelations, to know the man whose eyes are like fire, flames of fire. Can you hear the invitation of the Spirit of God when you read the first three chapters of Revelations? John, that had once rested upon the very bosom of Jesus, is now hearing a voice that he describes as a sound of many waters. And when he hears it, he turns around and he says he meets a man that's hair is white as wool. He meets a man whose eyes are like flames of fire. If I seek to meet a man like that every day in my prayer time, there's no way I could be bored. And I personally believe there's no way that signs and wonders won't be released. You see, he's not the lamb any longer on the cross, but he's the man of fire around the throne room of God. He's not the lamb on the cross anymore. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, that his voice is like the sound of many waters, which reflects the authority. What Jesus do you know? I hope that you're asking for a 10-ton anointing. I hope you're asking for an anointing for Brazil and Africa. You see, if we start really seeing what Jesus, what the scripture really says here about Acts 10:38, we will start loving when the enemy considers us worthy to be harassed. You see, we see it all the time as bad. Again, if you read the book of Acts, what do? When they get persecuted? Man, they're giving one another high five. Whoa, man, he thought we were worthy to be persecuted. Acts 5. But not with many of us. We got to have a prayer line. That's how dysfunctional. I know that's strong language. That's how dysfunctional many of us in the American church are from what the Word of God says. Amen? You see, there'll be 300 people here next Sunday. There'll be 3,000 here in 2 months if you and I really start living like the sons and daughters of the one whose eyes are flames of fire. And not only with this church, but Sojourn and Bentry, when we truly start stepping out, we truly start praying for the hurting and the lost and the needy, that Isaiah 61 says that we are to carry that mandate. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to close it up in this. I've thought a lot about, and I know I'm not real, real old, and you can go, amen, you're not, Pastor Mike. But I was going to word it like this. Thanks, Jason, for laughing like that. The ancient past, this past few weeks, I've been thinking about the ancient past of my own life. And I've been thinking about, I remember, I understand my anointing. And that's the reason last week when we ministered three generations, the Jacob generation will flounder without the Isaac and Abraham generation giving them wisdom. The Abraham and Isaac generation will flounder without the passion and zeal that a Jacob generation brings. But I understand my anointing so much more, my mission statement. I look back on it now, and when I was 10 and 11 and 12, as a kid, I was moved with great compassion when I would see somebody sick. And I was like what Jackie said a while ago. I was in a church that didn't preach and believe in healing. But I look on my ancient past now and I'm going, that was God, and I didn't know it. And see, we have to be sensitive to our young men back here, and particularly our Joshua's and Carson's, and I don't want to leave anybody out, and Parker and Henry, as well as the young ladies. Because you see, the culture of the earth will stomp upon little kids like that who are sensitive. I know. It happened to me, and so you bow up and you live with pride or whatever. And there's got to be healthy churches rise up and say, no, we understand 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old boys that that's the Spirit of God moving on your life. Am I making sense to parents and as you as adults? Am I making sense? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Teachers, do you see it of how, appreciate it there, Wendy Kay. When you see little six-year-old boys in your schools that are crushed, or ninth graders in your schools, that their spirit person is crushed, and the church has done as much crushing as the culture of the earth has. And so I look back and I know that God had an anointing on my life since I can remember at the age of 10 for healings and miracles. And I know that I've walked through that 2-ton or 4-ton or 6-ton tribulation and persecution so that I can have an anointing that we'll be able to save thousands of dollars and millions of dollars for you not, for the church not having to go to hospitals and doctors.
Amen.
So my question to you, as I've been thinking about this, what is your mission statement? Why has God put an anointing on your life? You see, you've been called to release His glory. And as I pondered about this, I understand why Leslie has a heart to, she started a after-school Bible study with young girls. When you sit down at our fellowship times and you really listen to your pastor, you'll find out how come she has that when you listen to her life story of where the enemy tried to stomp her life out. And she is investing in that Bible study too. And then I think of why Bridget and Celia have a heart to go to the hurting and the broken and downhearted. When you hear Celia's, when again at the fellowships and you want to know the chapters of people's lives. You hear how her mom and dad didn't give her a curfew, and when you're 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, a young girl can get in trouble. And so we all carry this. And then I understand how come Chris and Joyce go to Mardi Gras and they help the broken and the hurting on the streets of New Orleans. Because of where the enemy tried to stomp their life out. And when you get at the fellowships, you find out from Chris of how he rolled his motorcycle one day as a 17 or 18-year-old drug user. And he slides up to a curb and he hits his head wearing a helmet. That's totally saved his life. You see, we need to look back to all of our ancient paths. I don't care if you're 22, 24. You have an ancient path, and something happened in that place that God wants to reveal to you the anointing on your life. It's a plate of suffering and testing and trials for a plate of redemption for somebody that God wants to bring your way. I want you to see it this way. God hates unjust scales. How many times does He say that in Proverbs? Over and over. He hates it that when we let the tests and trials be here and we don't take it over here to be a scale of redemption for somebody on Mardi Gras Street. Do you remember Joyce's testimony when she came back from Mardi Gras? When she met and talked to a young man who was going to commit suicide. And she comes back only to have her daughter call her and tell her, I'm thinking about committing suicide. And if she wouldn't have had that encounter of a man on the streets of New Orleans telling her that, she would have never had the voice of redemption for her daughter. We've lost our sound because we have misunderstood our ancient paths. Some of us have lost loved ones from that testing and trial and tribulation. God wants to take that scale and bring it over here for a healing of a dad or mother or a sister for a person in a hospital, somebody you'll meet on the street. For Jesus of Nazareth was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. I love the laughing in the church. I'm serious, I do. I love the fire tunnels. I love all of that. But there's got to come a place that we leave that and we come over here and release the redemptive life of Christ to people around us. Amen? God wants to take your plate of testings and sufferings and release it over here. Now I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to pray. I have loved ones who have a certain issue in their life, a physical infirmity. And for years, for probably 5 years, it locked me up. And here I am needing to minister in front of the church at Sojourn Church. And I was thinking, God, there's no way I can minister if I can't get breakthrough for my own family members. Anybody else heard those lies as you walked through journey on this side of heaven? And finally, after God broke through my heart, I started going, no, I'll minister that very thing. And now over the last 5 years, that very issue I have ministered with the word of knowledge from the Lord, and two people have been healed from that. I'm gaining my war footing of understanding, okay, devil, you're going to throw something at me like that? I'm going to set 2,000 free.
Amen.
I'll set 2 million free. Some of us need to gain our war footing. Jesus brought a generation, God brought a generation out of the wilderness into the promised land that nobody was sick, no feeble knees, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. Some of us need to get healed up, understand the kingdom principles, and release the nature and the life of Christ around us. Amen?
Amen?
This is what I want us to do. We're going to do a quick fire tunnel. But it's to release him out there. I want the pences and the pages. I want the females on this side. Tell Lori she's in trouble with God for not being here because she just messed up my whole deal. Just kidding. But the guys on one side, the women on the other, get some anointing. Y'all come on up. Get some anointing. Put it on your hands. You're being smeared today. Sweetie, you can come up also. Are you not coming up? Are you going to play the keyboard or what are you? Okay, you wasn't listening? Okay. No, you're not up yet.
No,
it's good. It's good. No, huh? It's the Pinchas, Pages, and Yeris. You're being anointed today, smeared today, and I believe over these 21 days there's going to be an impartation that you're going to understand some of the things that you've walked through, and you're going to release the redemption side of that. Amen?